You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
For this opportunity, and I thank you for your presence. From the 18th chapter of Genesis, and beginning at the 16th verse, the 18th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the 16th verse, to the 21st verse, you'll find these words. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. I will go down and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And I want to talk with us for a few moments this morning about God knows.
Preach, preacher.
God knows. I realize that the God that you and I believe to be the creator of this universe seems to be unaware this morning that this world is rapidly crumbling apart. On the surface, it seems that God is unconcerned about our present condition. It seems this morning that God doesn't care and is acting contrary to the words of that great Negro spiritual that says, my God is writing and watching all the time. It seems that mankind would rather believe a lie instead of the truth. It seems that there will always be terrorists and thugs who will plant bombs or kill defenseless people, regardless of where you are, whether at home, at work, or even at worship. It seems that there will never be peace in this world. It really seems, Pastor Twyman, that there is no bomb in Gilead. For if there is, the bottle must be empty, and the cupboard is bare. It seems, preachers, that there will always be so-called men of God who think more of stroking their own ego than of leading lost souls to Christ. It seems. And it certainly seems that there is spiritual wickedness in high places. Look around us, in our every level of our governments. Amen. And in our homes and yes, even in our churches. It seems nothing's wrong with having multiple partners, and that God really didn't mean what he said. So it seems that sexual immorality and corruption and greed is the order of the day.
Help us.
This world, Sodom, says that it's okay for men to love men unnaturally. And it seems that it's all right for women to lie down with other women. It seems to some that to do evil is good. And so it's better to do evil. In reading this chapter, I want us to see God getting personally involved in the life of his friend, Abraham. And Abraham, if you read it, Abraham made him welcome in his tent. Well, what if Pastor Twyman dropped by your home unexpectedly? With the blinds closed? With all the lights turned off? Would you hide the weed and the wine bottle? Would you muzzle the kids and muzzle the dog? Or would you open the door and welcome him in? Amen. Would you offer him a hot dog or leftovers? Or would you prepare him a meal? Well, what I'm asking is would God be welcome if he unexpectedly dropped by your house? I heard Pastor Twyman ask us a few months ago that we're either fans of Christ or we are followers. And so some of us are followers and others are just fans. Amen, somebody. Abraham knew that he may not come that way again. And if he did, he might not stay long at his house. Just imagine, if you will, that the Lord condescending to come to sit at your table, knowing that he is preparing a feast for us at his welcome table. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with him. And so he visits and has dinner and has fellowship with his friend Abraham, and he tells Abraham of his plan to even give them a son. And then he shares his secret plan that he has for Solomon with Abraham. You know, friends do share secrets. Yeah. You used to call them your ace coon boom. Yeah. Your road dog. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Your homie. But God wouldn't go on hearsay. God himself said, read the record. I will go down and I'll see for myself if it's as bad as I heard. He says, then I will know. Macedonia, God already knew what was to be done with Sodom and Gomorrah. And he knew Lot was the only, amen, righteous person there. But I believe that he desired to extend his grace and mercy to give them every opportunity to turn it around. God's heart was breaking over their constant wickedness. And you do know that sin leads to judgment. Ask yourself, what would you do to Sodom and Gomorrah if you were God? Would you wipe them out? Well, what if you were placed in Abraham's shoes? Would you say, Lord, I've had enough of these folks. I wondered how long it would be before you stepped in and would drop the hammer. Plus, Lord, they deserve it. Or would you tell the Lord, I know they're evil. I know they're wicked. But they mean well. Lord, amen. But, Lord, don't be too hard on them. Nothing, church, can be hidden from God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And he sees the good and he sees the evil. So often we boldly come into God's presence confessing our sin. But we leave with no intention in our heart to walk in his light. Can I help somebody here?
Yes, sir.
God acts when all the evidence is in. Two believers to God are more important than a whole city of sinners. God is more ready to forgive than he is to destroy. No human eye saw Cain murder his brother, but God saw it. Achan, whose very name means trouble, stole some gold and some silver and wouldn't bury it. But God caused the death not only of Achan, but of his entire family. David had Uriah killed. And he thought he had gotten away. But God knew, and so he sent Nathan and told him, the sword will never depart from your heart. Hagar was used and abused. You read the story? Yeah, they got impatient on waiting on God, and Sarah went to her husband and said, I want Sarah to go into you and Sarah that we can have a baby. And I can raise the baby for myself. In other words, they wanted to help God out. And they got impatient. And I say they because Abraham went along with it smilingly. Yeah.
I smiled.
But Hagar, abused and used, ran away. But God saw her running and told her to go back. Yeah. Sarah even laughed when she heard in the tent that the Lord was going to give her a baby at her old age. And then she denied it out of fear. But God heard her laugh in the tent. Church, you may get wrong, go away with wrong. But you won't get away. My Bible says, be sure, amen, your sins will find you out. God knows the past, the present, and the future. And he knows the way that James O'Rear takes. Nothing catches God by surprise. He never has to guess what anybody is doing or has done. God knows, I tell you. He knows our every thought. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows when we want to do his will. And he knows when we're living contrary to his will. He knows and calls each of us by name. I know mom and daddy give me a name, but the God I serve calls me S-E-R-V-A-N-T. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And we are his servants. We belong to him. It's in him, amen, that we all live and move in, and we have our very being. And servant in Greek means doulos. I said doulos, not do less. A lot of folks in the church want to do as less as they can. I was part of, because when I come to church, I say, well, they got enough preachers, they got a young people teaching. Lord, I can sit down and do what other folks do. I can sit in a pew and chew, and that's all that I can do. And I guess the Lord looked at me and laughed. The Bible tells me to train up a child. Amen, in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart, amen, from it. And you know a child is being trained at home by the way they act when they get to God's house. Something's wrong, I tell you, when ungodly men and women can take the lives of others without batting an eye. Something's wrong when Christians choose to support the devil's dens, and I mean casino, C-A-S-I-N-O, they are casino. Something wrong when a Christian wants to support the devil's dens, then offer your leftovers to God if you offer him anything at all. Don't you know? God's got the best lottery. Read it in Malachi. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. God's got a guaranteed winner. It's troubling when we can save all of our thanks for Thanksgiving. But every day is a day of Thanksgiving. I say it's troubling. And there's not 1 ounce of gratitude the whole rest of the year. And I don't know about you, but God has blessed James O'Rear. So every day that I wake up is thank you, Lord, for another chance. He opens doors that I can't see. And every day, the choir just sung it, every day he keeps blessing me. There's not a day that goes by that God hasn't showered his blessings on us. I know I don't deserve it. It's been said that favor ain't fair, but God's favor is fair. Something's wrong when Sunday after Sunday we can sing, have thine own way, Lord. But Saturday, Monday through Saturday, we want to live any kind of way. Now, as bad as all of this seems, and it seems pretty bad,
it does.
There's a remedy. I say there's a remedy. It's an old remedy, but it still works. What we really need this morning, amen, is a lot less of me, a lot less of me, and much more of the God that we profess to serve. if we knew our Bibles better and paid, amen, more attention to his teaching about the proper relationship between man and God, the problems that we face would never have gotten out of hand in the first place.
That's right.
If we knew our Bibles, we'd find that God and not man is the creator and Lord of all life. I know we got a president that think he's God. You stay on your knees praying. We know who the creator of this universe is. And I come out here to tell you, no matter what he does, God already knows it before he does it. If we would read our Bibles, if we would stop fretting over the things that we see happening in this crazy world, we would see that God and not man is still in control, and he always will be. No circumstance is impossible with God. He's bigger than our circumstances. I don't know why. I really don't know why some are slow in heart to believe, but God knows. He knows when we cry and are sorrowful at heart. And he knows when we laugh and are bubbling with joy. Jeremiah told me that the heart is deceitful. Amen. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, you want to know who can know the heart? God knows. I said, God knows. God knows the heart. When there's confusion all around us, trouble on every hand, when we can't see a way out of our troubles, when our hearts are breaking and we're at the breaking point, God knows. He knows how and he knows when to turn it all around. Call him. And I declare, I said, I declare, if you call him, he will. I know he will show up and he'll show out. Life is full of the known and the unknown. And there are so many things that I don't know. And there are many things that we know, either by study or by personal experience. And we train our children so that they may avoid the pitfalls that we fell in. And yet most of them, even ourselves, have to learn through pain and suffering. When our daughter was 5, we'd already told her about the stove. Stay away from the stove. She see us cooking. She just looking. So while I was busy one day, Miss Fassie went and got her little chair and stood, pull it right over by the stove and turn the jets on. And then she put her hand there, she figured she had touched it. Then she jumped off the chair and ran straight to me. I'm looking at her, see my face. So I got some Vaseline and put on it and went back in the kitchen, her chair still standing by the stove with the flame still lit, as if the flame itself was even laughing. And every time after that, somebody would come to the house. She'd take them by the hand and point them to the stove and say, "Hot, hot." Never had to worry about her bothering that stove again. I said that, church, I'm just saying that either we gonna learn to listen to the Lord or we will get burned. I said, we'll either learn to listen and obey the Lord, or we're going to burn. God knows our every thought. Amen. And the intention of our hearts. Oh, yeah. He knows everything. Even while in Babylonian captivity, he told Jeremiah to tell Israel, "I know the plans that I have for you." Yeah, plans to do you good and not evil. Yeah. and plans to bring you to an expected end. And when you talk to me, when you pray to me, he says, I will listen to what you say when you seek me with your whole heart. God don't want a half-hearted Christian. He said, and when you pray to me and you pray with your whole heart, he said, I'm the kind of God, I'll let you find me where I am. You and I may never be invited to the mayor's mansion or the governor's mansion, nor to this nation's White House. But God has invited us all into his presence. Amen. The invitation is given every Lord's Day. And all you have to do is accept his invitation. You can accept it, or you can mark the invitation, return to sender. God knew Abraham by name. He called them out for his special purpose. And every one of us that he saved, he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But you gotta let him have his way. His purpose was for Abraham to bless the nation, to train his family. I said to train his family. To follow after God, not after this crazy mixed up world. God has a plan and purpose for all of our lives. And he's come into each one of our lives to teach us how he wants us to live. Yeah, by his grace. We're to live for him. And for him alone. He is the God who knows. And he cares. God knows you. Do you really know him? Well, as I close, if you really know him and he ain't fooling me, you ought to trust him. Amen. Well, why should I trust him, preacher? I'm glad that you asked. You need to trust God, first of all, because God knows everything. Amen. Evil doesn't go unnoticed by God. Amen. And God is never going to be deceived by man. Yes, right. And then you need to trust God, because he never fails. Oh, yeah, the proud and the hateful and the arrogant may seem to prosper. But wait a while. I said, wait a while. Yeah. We may not ever understand what God is doing. And God doesn't seem at times to move too fast. But just keep waiting on him. Go on in the darkness with God. Amen. Go on when everything around you says give up. And God will. I said God will one day bring everything out all right. But you got to trust him. Walk on with God when it makes sense. And especially walk with God when it doesn't make any sense at all. So go on with God, because God never fails. And then thirdly, you need to trust God, because God knows our world needs saving. And he sent a Savior, amen, for me and you this morning. God knew that we would make a mess out of this world. It didn't surprise God. It didn't catch him off guard. God knew we needed a Savior. And he sent Jesus. Jesus, amen, put on his all-weather gear. Amen. Came, amen, down through 40 and two generations. Amen. Healing, amen, the sick. Giving sight to the blind. Raising the dead. And can I tell you, he's still healing the sick. He's still giving sight to the blind. He's still raising the dead. He was lied on. And folks gonna lie on you and me. Amen. You need to expect it. They're gonna lie. That he was falsely accused.
Yes, he
was tried. Amen. And hung high on an old rugged cross. Yes. They placed a crown, amen, of thorns on his head. They pierced him, amen, in his side. And he hung his head in the lock of his shoulder. Amen. He gave up the ghost. I said he was buried in another man's tomb. And he stayed dead all the night, Friday night. All day Saturday. All Saturday night. And this world was doing just like it is now. Having a party, reeling and rocking. Said, we got this old imposter at last. But thanks be to God. Early. Early.
Early
Sunday morning.
Early Sunday morning.
He got up out of that grave. Stepped out on resurrection ground.
Come on, Jimmy.
Said, I am he who once was dead. And now I'm alive forevermore. I come by here to tell you, Macedonia, whatever you're going through, whatever is turning around in your life, God knows. If you don't know nothing else, you ought to tell God about your struggles.
Yeah.
He knows all about it. I said he knows.
He knows.
He knows.
He knows. Yeah.
He knows my name.
Yes, he do.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.